This morning's scripture comes from the book of Matthew, chapter 28, verses 1 through 10 in the Common English Bible version. After the Sabbath, at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to look at the tomb. Look, there was a great earthquake, for an angel from the Lord came down from heaven. Coming to the stone, he rolled it away and sat on it. Now his face was like lightning and his clothes as white as snow. The guards were so terrified of him that they shook with fear and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, "Don't be afraid. I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He isn't here because he has been raised from the dead, just as he said. Come see the place where they laid him. Now hurry, go, and tell his disciples he's been raised from the dead. He's going on ahead of you to Galilee. You will see him there. I've given the message to you." With great fear and excitement, they hurried away from the tomb and ran to tell his disciples. But Jesus met them and greeted them. They came and grabbed his feet and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Don't be afraid. Go and tell my brothers that I'm going to Galilee. They will see me there."
Many years ago, I came across a small town while riding my motorcycle in the mountains of Colorado. It was a little mining town that had this real cool little restaurant that I want you to picture it. It's an old wood structure, looked like it was a general store at one time, had a front porch on it, and had these two old geezers out there playing checkers. Kind of looked a lot like you, Ken. But he was sitting there and he was playing checkers, and people were walking up there and they were asking him, "Do you think it'll rain?" And he would say, "Check the rock." People would just walk over and they'd look at this rock that was hanging there on this piece of rope, and then they'd walk inside. Well, I've always been kind of inquisitive, so I walked up to him and I said, "What's up with that rock?" He said, "Go look." So I walked over and I looked at the rock, and it had a little sign hanging there beside it. It says, "Rock is wet, it's raining. Rock is dry, it's not raining. If the rock is swinging, it's windy. If you can't see the rock, it's foggy. If the rock is white, it's snowing. If the rock is missing, get your own weather report." The rock. We're talking about the rock today. We're talking about the rock that held Jesus. You know, the interesting thing about this rock, as we look at it today, the rock wasn't to keep him in. It was to keep others out. Keep others from stealing his body. To prevent others from keeping the prophecy from coming true. If we remember back in Scripture, Jesus told everybody that he was going to beat the tomb. He was going to rise from the dead on the third day. The Roman guards put the rock there to keep people from stealing the body of Jesus, to keep people from believing in who he was. Now, if we look at the four Gospels today, we see different interpretations of this. Some say the stone was rolled away and the ladies entered, and when they got in there, they found the garments that covered Jesus laying there. Others say that the ground shook with a mighty tremble and everybody fled and they ran, and the ladies went in there and they discovered Jesus was gone. But today's text actually comes from prophecy. And we look at it the way Matthew tells us. He tells us that the angel of the Lord was sitting high on top of that rock. Now I want you to picture in your mind being these ladies, the Mary Magdalene and the other Mary, which a lot of us like to think that was Mary, Jesus' earthly mother, come to prepare his body for a final resting place, a final stop along the road. Now imagine when they get there, here's this guy sitting up on top of the rock, and he starts talking to you. How many of you would stick around? I'm here to tell you, there's not too many things in the world would scare me, but if there's a guy sitting in front of this great big rock and his face is glowing like lightning, I'm running. I'm probably going to be the slowest guy there, but I'm running. I'm going to get away. But they didn't. They stood there and they wait for the message that he said, hey, you need to go tell the disciples, Jesus' brothers, that he's gone. That he's went on to Galilee. You need to go meet him there. Today I ask you, are you meeting him there? Are you prepared for the trip? We all got stones in our life, don't we? We all hide behind a stone one way or another because it gets easier that way. We have that stone that prevents the outside world from getting to us, stopping the outside world from penetrating what's going on in our life. We have our own little tomb where we go to hide. Inside that little tomb, we need to be resurrected. We need to be brought out. We need, as I was telling the children this morning in the children's message, the stones need to be broken. You can't keep stacking stones up and blocking yourself off from the world. You've got to really experience life because Jesus went first to experience life for us. He was the only one, if we remember back several weeks ago, we talked about, he was the only one alone in the garden. And from that point on, no one's ever been alone again. No matter how hard I try at my house, I can't be alone. Many of you have the same problem, don't you? Ron, I know you do. You got a nursery running around over at your house, a day school. There's no way you ever get to be alone. We look up here in the front row. You guys ever get to be alone? No. Some of you back here in the back, you think that you do have an opportunity to be alone at times, but really you don't. Because even inside your inner thoughts, you're never alone. You actually have someone who's standing there with you, who's willing to talk to you, who's willing to experience life with you, because the tomb couldn't hold him. The grave could not defeat him. He come walking out with all the glory in the world. And his ministry didn't stop just exiting the tomb. He went on somewhere else. He went on to Galilee to make things better for everyone. We can look at text and we can see that Jesus walked the earth for many, many days after that. But I ask you this. How do you deal with the addictions in your life? Check the rock. How do you deal with financial woes in your life? Check the rock. How do you deal when someone suddenly hurts you that you think will never hurt you, that they turn their back on you and they befriend you? Check the rock. The stone that holds Jesus holds us. Anytime the rock gets chipped away from us, it's another chance to open up, another chance to be just a little bit more vulnerable to the world around you. And when you're vulnerable to the world, you can really experience life, can't you? Has anyone really been separated at all? And I'm asking you this just off the wall question. If you've ever been separated, what did you do to find your way back? Was it worth the journey or was it not worth the journey? Was it worth the struggle or not worth the struggle? Today we live in this social media culture. That I started a thing, it's been about 6 weeks ago, 7 weeks ago, that I came up with this whole idea of no negativity in my life. A lot of it happens, more and more and more. And I started watching on Facebook, which is, you know, I've said many a times, that's a devil's playground. And I sit there and I watch on Facebook of people that they feel like they've been hurt by someone, so they lash out with just some of the craziest things that they say that they would never normally say. They hide behind that rock called Facebook, that TV screen, that monitor, that no one can see them when they're lashing out at someone. When would it be easier to walk up to somebody and say, look, I don't like that. negativity in my life. Poof, it's gone. I let go of it. 75 friends on Facebook are sitting there going, wow, what happened? Where did he go? I separated myself from it because in my life I need nothing but positivity. I need Jesus to impact my life more and more every day. More and more every day we seem to experience struggles. I know me personally, I experience struggles all the time. All the time because I forget that Jesus did this for me. Because I live in a me world. Living in a me world, I've set myself inside that tomb. And I put the stone up there. And for years and years and years, I built with little bitty stones. Little bitty stones to separate myself from the outside world. The angel of the Lord came and rolled away the stones for Jesus. Jesus came and rolled away the stones for you. Every stone that you have has been chipped away. Today's the day to celebrate. Today's the day to rejoice. Today's the day to not really worry about what's going to happen tomorrow. Let tomorrow worry about tomorrow. Celebrate today. In the text, it tells us that the ladies needed to rejoice, they needed to go, and then they needed to share. They needed to share. The important thing that we have to look at this text is, are we sharing the love of Christ with the people around us? As I said earlier, we separated ourselves off in a pit, in a separated society where we live behind the computer monitor, we live behind the telephone, we live behind anything we can. Why don't we try leaving that environment and coming to a personal environment where you're face to face with someone and you can actually tell them that God's there, that God's there to share with you, to celebrate your life for you. To carry you when you fall. To watch over you when you can't watch over yourself. To bridge the gap between old life and new life. Important thing about today is we need to check our rock. Check the rock. Because what you've got piled up in front of you is separating you truly from Christ. The crucifixion is over. The tomb is empty. The angel tells us we need to go and share. Celebrate. Now, I said this last year and I'm going to say it again. Does anybody besides me find it ironic that we celebrate Jesus with ham? Think about it, small Jewish boy, and we're gonna celebrate by eating a ham. Today, when you're with your family and you're celebrating the Jewish feast of the ham, really look at somebody and tell them the true meaning of Christmas. Christmas. I knew I'd wake somebody up. The true meaning of Easter. When you're sitting with someone, I hear so many people talk about life is so busy, so hectic, that the true meaning of Easter is to be with family. Okay. That's a stretch. It's not about the Easter bunny, which, hey, I'm a fat kid who likes candy. But it's not about that. You know, for all of you that are really concerned about Easter candy, it goes on sale tomorrow at Walmart. Get all you want. Celebrate it that way. You know, celebrate family of Christ. Focus on the positive of your life, not the negative. Negative has no place to be. Cast it off and experience the eternal joy because somebody did that. Yesterday, Erica posted a picture of a thing that happened down in Galesburg that was very powerful. Of a young man carrying a cross, and he was covered in blood, and people were throwing stones at him. People were pushing him. People were knocking him down. People were calling him names. And that was just an act. When you think about negativity in your life, think about what that really was like, and the real pain, and the real suffering, and then you can celebrate the real empty tomb and the rock that's been rolled away. Please stand and join us in our closing song. She regrets that she couldn't be here with us this morning, but she had a sister that needed to see her a whole lot more. If you would, join me in prayer. Heavenly Father, as we've gathered in your house today, Lord, I thank you for the opportunity to come together and celebrate that the stone is rolled away and the tomb is empty. Lord, we're preparing to head to Galilee so we can experience the joy of life, Lord. So we can experience the abundance that you've got planned for us. Lord, as we leave this house today, I ask you to go with us, be with us and guide us each and every step of the way until we meet again and gather in your holy name. In your son's precious name, I pray today. Amen.